Chapter 28, Birdie May. March 2019. I was so ready to have this baby girl. I had spent the last several therapy sessions talking about how I needed her out of me. I honestly couldn't think of anything else. She was laying on her side in me, and she was so big that they scheduled a C-section for March 19th, when my actual due date was April 15th. But first there had been the shock that at age 38 they considered this a geriatric pregnancy, which is the oldest you will ever feel. I was like, what? Really, it's just a box to check, said a nurse. It just means you're high risk. I chuckled. You're full of good news, I said. What else you got? Thoughts on my hair? We laughed and she told me not to worry. But this was kind of the pregnancy from hell. When I wasn't being hospitalized for bronchitis, I had it four times, I was breaking the toilet seat leaning back. At least I was really open about it. In January, the 10-year challenge was a big thing on Instagram, where you posted a 2009 photo next to a current one. I posted my old skinny legs next to my incredibly swollen ankle. It was so sweet because I heard from many, many women who have been through the same thing. The pregnancy was a crazy painful journey. And you were with me the whole way. I spent a lot of nights in our study working on this book, with just you and my little girl there to keep me company. So, you're cordially invited to her arrival. The nurses and doctors at Cedars-Sinai told me they'd never seen a bigger group of people in the birthing suite. In about 30 minutes, they'd wheel me in for the C-section. And there were 20 people packed into the room, friends and honorary family carrying on like it was a party. My friends were leaning back on my bed to take selfies with me. My kids were peppering me with last-minute questions. Mom, how long's it gonna take? Ace asked. About an hour, maybe. Is it through your belly button? Maxwell asked. I pointed lower. No, right here, honey. So it's not down where you pee. No, but some mommies do that. It's all good. Someone suggested people write down their guesses on the weight of the baby, like it was a jar of jelly beans. I'm thinking 8 pounds, said Casey. Everyone took one look at my belly and laughed. No way, said my mom. Yeah, much bigger, said my dad. I smiled at them, smoothing my hand over my belly. I looked around the room. Eric's parents, Ashley, my second mom, Carol, and all my girlfriends. My parents were here with their significant others, and it was okay. All the stuff that would normally bother me just didn't. This was my new normal. And maybe that was okay after all. It was only awkward for the nurses. One of the veteran ones said she needed to take me to the bathroom, and as we moved, she whispered, "Can I get these people out of here?" It hadn't even occurred to me. Oh, yeah, I said, sure. Okay, she yelled. Can we clear the room? Give Jessica a second before she gets sliced open and has her baby? You'd be a good bouncer, I said. They took me into the operating room. Eric had to wait about 20 minutes before coming in because they do the spinal tap and epidural while you're by yourself. It was just me and my baby. And the doctors that came in scrubbed up in blue with their hands in the air. It looked like they'd raised their hands in prayer. Do you have a birth plan? One asked. I'm here, I said. Have you guys done this before? Are you gonna eat your placenta? I laughed. Nope, I said. No, you can throw it out. There was so much going on, and I was numb from the chest down. I could kind of lift my arms, but I was thinking, don't fall off. What kind of music do you want? My mind went blank. Whatever y'all listen to that makes this go by, that's great, I said. Just get her out. So they put on the Grey's Anatomy soundtrack and queued up How to Save a Life. Oof. Okay, we're ready, a doctor said. But Eric's not, I said. Don't forget my husband. Oh, he's just getting scrubbed up, a nurse said. Just then he came in. Babe, I'm here. They asked me about music, and I forgot to say Zeppelin. He held my hand, and I started crying. I just wanted her to be okay after everything we'd been through. After the incision, I felt a hard tug and she was out. Why isn't she crying? It was not even a full second, but that second was the longest moment of my life. She started to yell, and I don't think I've ever cried more cleansing tears. Birdie Mae Johnson was named for my father's grandmother, Birdie. And in tribute to the songs that have carried me through my life, His Eyes on the Sparrow and Dolly Parton's Little Sparrow. I don't know what it means for her life, but I know she gave me strength to go back out on stage and write this book. Birdie entered this lucky world weighing 10 pounds, 13 ounces. No one guessed her weight high enough, but Eric's dad came closest, so he won. Maxwell was not happy that Birdie was bigger by a pound than when she was born, but she was so excited to see that they had the same stork bite birthmark in the same place, right between their eyes. Immediately, it was like, this is my sister. This is our thing. Ace has smaller ones, but not in the same place as theirs, but he can brag that he has 5 of them. You can only see them when kids get upset. I always called them angel kisses because a stork bite sounds pretty aggressive in my opinion. We took Birdie home, our family of 5 all together at last. Birdie was welcomed by so many people, but one of the best presents was a package of photos I received from Casa Hogar Aleem, Mama Lupita's orphanage. They sent us a letter welcoming Birdie, along with tons of pictures of the kids having fun and learning at school. They have the same spark of joy that my children have, and seeing that was one of the best gifts Birdie and I received. I'm writing to you in the thick of summer now. We spent the day out back with the kids, and it was Birdie's first time in the pool. She loved the water, and the kids were excited to be able to take turns carrying their little sister. I watched her in the water, wondering if she would take to it like her brother and sister. She did, her dimpled smile growing as she splashed her hands in what must have seemed like a giant bathtub. I have fallen more in love with my family watching them love our Birdie. She came at just the right time for us. Sweet Ace is so quiet with her, always wanting to hold her. He's so intuitive, knows so much about people without even spending a lot of time with them. He will know his sisters so well and always look after their hearts. Maxwell is not the junior diaper changer I thought she would be, but she loves her little sister so much. The other day I caught her singing to Birdie about Peter Rabbit. The baby had just woken from a nap. I stood in the doorway, listening with my heart about ready to burst. I laugh because they all need me, and poor Eric, we all need him. I'm so happy to not be pregnant anymore that I just lay on his chest and breathe these big sighs of relief. When I am with him, wherever we are, I feel at home. When I hold his hand, I feel like I can just step forward into the future with grace and strength. Music is part of that journey again. Teresa, who helped protect me as an artist all those years ago, is back in my life. I am so proud of the work we are doing together. Finding peace with total quiet is possible, but I still do struggle with insomnia. All my fears and doubts do come once everyone is asleep and there's nobody to distract me. When thoughts come, I've learned that they're okay. I can't say I've made friends with them, but lying in bed, I can at least shake hands with them now. Like, okay, I see you, I'm aware of you, and now you be aware of me. Good night. I've been letting those closest to me read passages from this book. I was most scared to show my father, just as I was scared to play him music on that Halloween that changed my life. He wrote me yesterday. I wish I could have held you more in so many of those dark hours, he said. Please forgive me for being a better manager than a father. I told him he was the best father I could ever have. I wouldn't change any moment. It's true. I wouldn't change a single thing about my story, because I finally love who I am, and I can forgive who I was. I knew that I would be ending this book tonight, and for a long time I feared this very moment. There's a permanence to getting your thoughts down that can feel like a last testament. The reason I started journaling at 15 years old was because we lost my cousin Sarah, and she left behind her diaries. I worried that writing this book represented the end of something. Now, I see my life is just beginning. I have a better footing now for retracing the steps that got me here. I have thought of you so much as I wrote this book, wanting to give you things to carry on your own journey. Every night I go to bed next to that angel figurine given to me in Iraq. It comforts me, but also calls me to be more. I wanted this book to be something like that for you. And now that it's ending, these parting words seem so important. So I got all my journals out and piled them on the table next to me for inspiration. I pulled one out at random to see what pages I was supposed to leave with you. I opened the page to this. Sometimes we are all so afraid to be honest with ourselves because we know that honesty will lead to somewhere. I wrote this 10 years ago. Can fear walk us to something better? I can say now that the answer is yes. I knew that then too, but I still had to phrase it as a question because I wasn't ready. I had to walk through my fear to be here writing to you about the painful moments in my life. Pain is where all the tools are, I said to my therapist the other day. If you're someone who has a lot of tools, I'm sorry. But I'm also hopeful for you. You have so much to work with. I think it's important, whatever your situation, to turn inward. So often we turn away from ourselves and just numb our feelings to get through the day. You can do that with anything, not just with alcohol. It's so easy to overwhelm yourself with too much to do in a day, where you never have enough time for yourself. We need to own our weakness, our hurt, our pain, and say it out loud so that we can name what is coming up and why. You deserve it. You deserve to feel the heartbreak and the pain so that once and for all you stop holding yourself back from feeling whatever it is you've tried to mask. No, it's not easy, but you're worth the work. And if you do not have a stable presence in your life, take the time you need to become that stable presence for yourself. To find that stillness within you, no matter what storm you're in. Leaving you now, I feel the way I do seeing my children off to school. I start to sputter all these things to them at the door. Do you have your water bottle? Here, let me straighten your collar. Remember to be kind. Listen to your teachers. Sit with someone lonely. Make good choices. And most important, I love you.